It's great to be with you today. To be or not to be? That was the question. That's right. As Hamlet pondered the reflection of his life, and Shakespeare had many words around that, as you know. I pose to you, it does not have to be about our inner turmoil, but who we are willing to be in this very moment. Could it be that we have a choice to be a lover of life and its challenges, or to choose life of suffering and resentment, to be a Scrooge? No fun. But it's up to us in every moment in making the decision for ourselves, of course. We're a very emotional people. We're driven by emotion. And claiming an emotion of love and connection is not always very easy. Today, I would like to address one way to practice the choice of being willing to support a delightful outcome in all our personal interactions. Sounds like fun? Okay. But I'd like to start off by asking a question. Is anyone here from the land of the late 1960s, early 70s? Black and white TV, three channels, yeah, the rabbit ears. It was up to the kids to change the channel and move the rabbit ears at the parents' command, right? And I grew up in a Catholic grade school during that time, and for me growing up during that time was not very conducive to supporting a choice of love and connection. I learned very early on that the nuns in Catholic school were not my friends. One had to keep an eye out for the flying rulers and erasers, etc. Behaving, sitting up straight, keeping quiet, and one's hands to ourselves were the first rules of the road. The nuns would tell us, God is always watching and waiting for us to slip up and send us to confession. Now, have you ever been to confession as an 8-year-old? You're in this black box trying to find a way out, sweating bullets. There's got to be a way out of this thing. And then the priest would open a little door. Some of you younger people may not know what I'm talking about. There's a little screen that the priest opens up and testing you on your prayer. You had to say an intro prayer, and then he would give you penance for the sins you committed or made up, one or the other. I didn't mind penance because at least they let me out of the box. I always wondered how the points that Jesus made to love one another applied to my life at that point. But later, when my father passed away suddenly, as I turned 17 years of age, I had to figure out more than a few things. The person I had to keep as a priority my whole young life was now gone. Everything was hinged on his mood and command up until that point. What's next? Where am I going to go? What path do I take? All I knew really was that I had to stay out of trouble and find work. My father didn't like my penchant for wanting to be an artist much at all. So I went to college to be an architect. At least I could keep on drawing. After a few years, I got an opportunity to do engineering work for construction projects, and which turned out to be a great learning challenge throughout my entire career. By the grace of God, we are offered a chance at making a few key connections that affects our lives. One big connection was with Diane, my future and current wife, who's actually attending today. While managing a design work office, I had too much work and needed help. And then presto, Diane walked in to apply. But she was the smartest person I have ever met, especially at that time, 40 plus years ago. It was, yeah. Now, it was very rare at that time to have a woman engineer. I didn't know of any, but knew it would be a challenge in the hiring process. We're going to try and figure this out. I was willing to buck the corporate system and get her hired. When it was approved to make it happen, my monkey mind went crazy. I didn't know anything about teaching. What was I going to do? But she was very patient with me. We worked through, that's right, absolutely. John knows how patient she must still be, yes. We worked through many challenges and have been married for over 36 years. Our daughter's all grown up with two little grandkids. And along the way of all that time, I've pursued three lines of focus. First, as a construction engineer for over 44 years, which is now coming to a close, helping to build many buildings from hospitals to 58-story high-rises in San Francisco, were great challenges working with those different teams. And this first slide I just wanted to share with you is a 24-story residential tower in San Jose. This was just finished. It was a tough job last year. I just want to give you an idea of the kind of projects that I've been working on my whole career. Now, separately, over 30 years ago, Diana and I found a Unity Church together, and everything changed. A new perspective was launched, not only with our relationship, but also with my relationship with God. I learned through the great Unity teachers that I am part of God, and that God really does like me. Who knew? What? Me? I couldn't believe it. It took me a long time to grasp that or accept that. The early church from when I was a kid was about the cranky bearded man painted on the ceiling. We were trying to please him somehow. Each Sunday seemed it was a sad occasion, but that all ended when my father left. But the emotions stayed with me. I had these structures that stayed with me my whole life. The Unity Church was a place of humor, frivolity, singing fun songs, and learning about community. I loved it. And I still do. With the inspiration from Unity, I studied the way of becoming a licensed Unity teacher, taking classes here years ago, and spending vacation time at Unity Village out in Missouri, taking classes, and had great adventures there. It's a beautiful place. I recommend you go visit. Then to expand my experience even further, I went to an interfaith seminary in Berkeley, learning about many religions and cultures around the world. I want to mention here that there is a connection. There's a wonderful lady named Gina Rose Helpin who created the Chaplaincy Institute in Berkeley. She had a vision to create more ministers and chaplains in the world for not only hospital work, hospice care, people in prisons, etc. And Gina Rose was a student of Matthew Fox's university, Creation of Spirituality. So we had the pleasure of having Matthew Fox here last week. I hope you all saw Matthew Fox and participated with him. He's such an inspiration and a worldwide inspiration he is. And so that's where that connection is. So on the second slide, there's a picture of, did we show the second slide? Of when I was ordained. That's when my hair was a different color. Yes. So it actually happened. It was super cool. And I got to do some chaplaincy work. It was awesome. And I still do. So my artwork has been a steady guide and has kept my creative and spiritual side active and my ego from running off the rails from the construction stress. And this, I did a painting while I was in seminary, and this painting I did of Kuan Yin, the Buddhist goddess of mercy and compassion. And it hangs in my home office and it helps keep me calm and reminds me of what I'm doing when I'm lost in the throes of concrete. Some of you may have participated in my creative art workshops here at Unity, and there will be more to come. It is always about growing and learning more about ourselves. That's what it's all about. Now, recently, a minister, an artist, and an engineer were out playing golf. There's a very slow group of golfers up the way. The engineer was really upset. What's with these guys? We have a schedule here. We've been out here for 20 minutes waiting for these guys. And the artist chimed in. I don't know. I've never seen such chaos and confusion. Then the minister said, well, let's call the groundskeeper over and ask him about it. Hey, George, what's with this group ahead of us? They seem to be a little unfocused. Well, the groundskeeper said, oh, well, that's a group of blind firefighters. They lost their eyesight saving our clubhouse last year, so we let them play golf whenever they want, for free. Well, the group was kind of silent. Wow. And the minister said, that's so sad. I will say a special prayer for them tonight. And the artist said, good idea. I'm going to get some canvases, and we're going to have them do some color, and we're going to sell these canvases and help pay for their medical work. And the construction engineer said, why can't these guys play at night? Right? I know. She was going to give me a rim shot. The intention of our Unity ministry here is based on informed by our core values of love, connection, service, and wisdom. And I've been in congregations that have not addressed their core values for a long time, and troubles ensue. So making connections with others is key to growing all other values. Every interaction carries a potential for love, healing, and transformation, exposing us to new ideas and experiences, and encourages us to step out of our comfort zones. Connections provide emotional support during tough times. So thank you for making the decision to be here today. Making some connections to participate and contribute, your presence is really a blessing. So thank you. Now, service is a way to grow connections by supporting others. The reciprocity of service creates deeper emotional connections. As we serve, we also receive love and appreciation. And love isn't just a feeling, it's an action. Love is an action. So when we serve others, we experience a sense of purpose and fulfillment. So communities thrive when we contribute. And what's really nice is that we have a place here where volunteerism is needed and supported, and it gives us a place to plug in wherever we feel comfortable and can serve. As we are willing to connect through service, our wisdom grows, okay? Because wisdom goes beyond just knowledge, right? Wisdom is the ability to apply the understanding of life's complexities. Is life a little complex right now? I think it's a little complex right now. So wisdom involves discernment, discerning our complexities, compassion, and insight from our shared humanity. In summary, then, connection, whether through relationships or shared experiences, creates love, service, and wisdom. So the goal for this sharing today is to improve our connections with each other through setting the tone so that the most extraordinary and delightful result occurs for both parties, not just one party, but for both, moving us ever forward in peace and love for a greater future together. Anyone up for that? Okay. So what happens when we come into the opportunity to have a conversation with somebody new here today? So like Emily. Emily's here. She was here at the early service. Thank you for being here again. We're going to meet Emily. Our judgment jumps out. Can this person be my friend? Are they too far removed from my point of comfort? I don't know. She's a little, younger than me. This is how we're programmed from the beginning of millennia. We have to assess in a matter of seconds a knee-jerk reaction. If this is a friendly person or a dangerous person, is this person a part of my tribe or not? Based on our own unique perspective, our own structure of knowing, our own unique perspective. Even though in every interaction, there's an infinite number of possible outcomes if we are open. If we are open. So it's a matter of being open. Opposing, for example, the struggle happens when we have our emotions decide on an outcome. But then we are not open because our emotions are making all these decisions. They're making all these assumptions. We like to use the word assumptions, but they're created by emotions. So when a meeting is planned with our workmates or our churchmates before we get there, are we going to engage with the person or group with our game face on? I'm going to win no matter what. Are we going to hold our ground? I'm not going to buy into that idea. That's not my idea. I'm not budging. It's my way or the highway. We ever hear any of those words? Don't we determine our attitude and tone of what we will bring to the group even before we get there? Silence. I'm not admitting to that. Well, sometimes we may have won a battle of words in that meeting, but have we accomplished our goal of creating the most extraordinary and delightful result for all parties involved? Or just my result, which may not be the best result and may tick off the rest of the group? Yay for the ego. Loss for relationship building, right? For another example, for my friend Chris, I hadn't seen him in a long time. He comes out, Chris, where have you been? I haven't seen you for months. You could have sent a text. You could have sent an email, a smoke signal, anything. Is that a good way to start a conversation with the possibility of a delightful outcome? Maybe not. Or with Wonder Woman, right? You said you were going to be home from work by 6 p.m. Is there any reason you can't call or have my dinner delivered? Is that a good way to start a conversation with the possibility of a delightful outcome? Probably not. I kind of stepped in it. We're called to beg the question, how can I help make the next few words be supportive before I go off the farm in emotional accusation or emotional assumptions. Are you willing to make every interaction, every conversation have a delightful outcome for every person involved? Would it be interesting if I showed you a way on how to do that? Kind of built up to this point. What are you up to, Hardy, right? Get to the point. So I have these cards here. These called Setting the Arena cards. I'm going to ask the ushers to pass these out. Each person gets a card. I would like to share with you something that's near and dear to my heart. This was created by Maria Nemeth, an amazing coach and mentor. These cards have two questions to recite and consider before engaging in a conversation of a meeting of any kind. Diane and I do this every day, every morning after Daily Word. And let me say, this improved our relationship because it opens us up to infinite possibilities together. And we can, how are we doing on the passing out? Got a few up here. Thank you, Linda, for your help. They're coming around. So on the front of the card, why don't we show the first slide, slide number four, setting the arena. Okay, on the front of the card it says, setting the arena with your presence determines the possibility for a positive outcome or not. The arena is the ontological space of all possibilities. Ontological means beyond the ego, beyond our point of view. So the arena is set here every Sunday morning when the minister and volunteer group supports each service by praying together and setting an intention for the services. And then Jeannie Fuson sets a heart lock-in at 9:20 each Sunday morning as part of setting the space of love and open heart for all who come into the service. So setting the arena is a powerful opportunity to be of service. Just setting the arena. Now, the first question on the card is, who am I willing to be in order to produce an extraordinary result out of this interaction? Who am I willing to be in order to produce an extraordinary result from this interaction? Not just a connection, but an extraordinary, authentic interaction, where the intention is that the result would be far greater than I expected for both parties. Now, on the back of the card, the next slide, it's called Qualities of Being. There's 23 qualities of being listed on the back of this card, and you can pick any three. You don't have to memorize these. There will be a test later, but right now you're. But right now we're just going to go through and demonstrate this. It's easier than it looks. Just the first ones that come to mind. These are the qualities that are already part of you and are willing to bring to the arena or to the interaction in the moment in order to make that extraordinary result happen. And then, back on the front side of the card, the second question is, am I willing to systematically dismantle my structure of knowing? And this is a big deal, right? If the answer is yes, then it establishes that you're willing to be open to another possibility for a delightful outcome for all involved, which means being willing to dismantle or let go of some old ideas that might be keeping one rigid or in the box of resistance their ego has built for our protection. So we have to let down our barriers a little bit. This says, Am I willing? You're asking yourself, am I willing to dismantle some of those structures to have a positive interaction? We carry so much of our ideas about how life is supposed to be from childhood, right? And most of these ideas no longer serve us in adulthood, but may be keeping us from making connections. I have dismantled many things that stay with me for, of course, a long time. All of us do. One is that my childhood church is not like this community at Unity. So letting go of old feelings and being present, I can be here and appreciate the fun and frivolity without guilt. By questioning, unlearning, and the dismantling of old structures can pave the way for new connections, insight, and wisdom. So for example, let's say, I want to move on to a demonstration. I think this is going to be great. I would like to ask my friend Laurel to come up and demonstrate this exact process. We have a handy mic here.
Is it on?
Yes. Good. Good job. So I'm going to say the first question with three qualities of being, and then she's going to repeat that on her side, and then we'll do the second question. Okay. Who am I willing to be in order to produce an extraordinary result out of this interaction? I am willing to be generous, open, and kind.
Who am I willing to be in order to produce an extraordinary result out of this interaction? I'm willing to be attentive, passionate, and joyous.
Great. Am I willing to systematically dismantle my structure of knowing? Yes.
Am I willing to systematically dismantle my structure of knowing? Yes.
All right, in this moment. So this opens the space for us to have a wonderful conversation. Now it's your turn. Ha! So I'm going to give you a couple minutes. I'd like you to pair up with someone next to you and do exactly that, the first question and the qualities of being, and then the second question. And if you're done with that, then I ask you to pick a second person to do the same thing. So if you're all by yourself, just move. Feel free to move around a little bit. We're not set in stone. So this is something to carry with you. If you feel you haven't come together on the possibility of a delightful outcome for both parties, it means we're off our card. Because these qualities of beings are within all of us. No matter what our attitude or problems are, our qualities of beings are listed here with us. So thank you for participating in that, starting some conversations, opening up some communication. We have a very willing crowd here. Thank you for being willing to participate. In conclusion, we can choose and accept the world as a diverse, friendly place in which we can learn to interact and support each other, like in our faith community. To be participants in the revelation of humanity, to be part of a more peaceful place in which to live, we start by understanding that our world is made by bringing our own true qualities of being into authentic conversations. In short, our world is transformed by what we are in conversation about on a daily basis. If one is willing to be open on our card, then changes can be made one small step at a time, one authentic conversation at a time, to crack the door of our own structure, to open just a bit. I believe it is our calling to be challenged to grow in the world, to discover the greatness that we are on our own hero's journey, moving us beyond our easy comfort and protective structure. This is one way to do that. It'll help with that. I challenge you today to improve your connections through setting the arena and creating new and lasting relationships. And with that, we have an affirmation to share. I am willing to share my qualities of being and produce an extraordinary delight out of every interaction. Let's say that together one more time. I am willing to share my qualities of being and produce an extraordinary delight out of every interaction. Thank you.